smoke at all. But every day she'd take out her packet of cigarettes and she'd say to him, "Would you like a cigarette?" This is after 10 years of marriage. He'd say, "No thanks, I don't smoke." I haven't heard anything about them for the last 20 years. I don't know if she's still doing it or not. But I would say that that woman doesn't really get her husband. Would you agree? Now, no one here would ever do anything that stupid. Okay. You see, the question is, do you get God? See, some people get on with God in a very easy way because they know what he likes. If you want to get on with people, you need to know what they like. They say, "Would you like a cigarette?" "Oh, I'm dying for one. Thanks." Okay. But with someone else, it's not that, it's something else. And sometimes you offer God something that he doesn't want. He doesn't even like it. He's not interested in it. It's not on his agenda at all. And we think, "Oh, he'll love this now. He'll love this." Nah. And we think, "Why does God not, like, respond to me? Why are we not getting on better? I mean, I gave him this thing, and he just looked at me like, or maybe he didn't look at me, didn't think at all." So, we're going to look at some of the things that people have offered God, and also what they wanted. And these are, like, big names, so actually, we've probably made these mistakes too. We're going to start with Joshua. Joshua's a great man. I mean, his name means Jesus. He can't do any better than that. He was the Old Testament Jesus. He fought 33 battles, won 33. 33-0. That's pretty cool, that is. Okay. So the 33-0 guy, he had a bad experience in one battle one day. You probably know the story. They went to a town called Heap of Rubble and Ai, and they didn't make the plans they should have made. And it didn't go so well, and they lost that part of the battle. They eventually won, but they lost that part of the battle. But he was very depressed. He was prone to depression and discouragement, this man, Joshua. And he lay down on the ground and said, "Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, look what's after happening. Your enemies have won. What are we going to do? If only we hadn't left Egypt at all. Now everyone will hear about it. And what will you do? Because your name is ruined now. And everyone will come down and they'll kill us. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord." And God said to him, "What are you doing?" And I suppose Joshua thought, "Oh, like I'm praying. Like I thought you'd know that. Like you being God and all." But apparently, God didn't think he was praying. Although he was using some nice words, like, "Oh Lord." Okay? Sometimes we copy people who use nice words and think, well, they know God, and they say, "Oh Lord." So I'll say, "Oh Lord," and God will come. No, doesn't come. I knew someone who did more than say, "Oh Lord." I was in a meeting. Nobody here was in the meeting, except my nearest and dearest. Some time ago in a different part of this country, and someone prophesied in the meeting. And when they prophesied, they spoke like this, and breathed like a horse. And then when they were finished prophesying, they started using a normal voice again. Now, I didn't say to that person, because I'm very gracious. I didn't go over and say to them, "Why did you do that? Like, suppose you didn't breathe like a horse. Would you still be able to share what God had put in your heart?" Because we can get the impression that if you act in some kind of bizarre way, or you call the mannerisms of some godly person you know, that kind of God will come. No. It just makes you weird. It just makes you spiritual. Anyway, so there's Joshua saying, oh Lord, lying down, dust on his head, tore his shirt. Back to TK Maxx for Joshua. So he did all this stuff, and God said, "What are you doing? I don't get this at all." Imagine praying, and God didn't get it. God says, "Some of you people, you've stolen and you've lied. Get up and fix it." Sometimes praying is the wrong thing to do. When you need to do something, don't pray. Go and do it. There's been times I've been praying. God has spoken to me and said, "Go and do this thing." Now, keep on praying would be disobedience. You just go and do it. God's very practical. He made a practical universe. Solid and all, look. God made this stuff. Not just the angels. God made solid stuff. He gave you a body. Did you notice that? You live in a body. You're not some ephemeral spiritual being. You live in a body for a reason. God likes it that way. You're a practical person. God wants you to do practical things that please him. Not just lie and pray, but when there is something you need to do, don't pray. Go and do that thing. What about the other Jesus, the one we call Jesus? Does he agree with this? Yes, he does. He says, someday, you're there in the temple offering your gift to God. Oh Lord, here's my gift. And you remember that your brother has something against you. You slandered someone, or you took what wasn't yours, or you remember that. He says, leave your gift there. Oh, but this is my worship. Yeah, leave it. But I'm praying. Stop praying. Go do what you should do. Amazing, isn't it? Sometimes we think God likes certain things, but we're wrong. And sometimes we think we're not spiritual enough. You know what our problem is? We're not practical enough. God has all the spirits he wants. He's got tens of thousands of angels, legions of them. He's got loads of spiritual beings. But he doesn't always have humans who will do the right thing. Wow. It's easy to get it wrong, isn't it? It's a good thing God forgives us. Fasting. Now, that's surely a way to make God like you, like giving up the food and everything. We love food, don't we? Pasta, chocolate, dark chocolate, red bush tea. Oh, don't come on, me start. Okay, so food's lovely, like. So if you give up your food while you pray, that adds an extra edge. And hey, that's cool. It's cool to fast when you pray. But we can do this in a way that we think is what God's going to like. And there was a time in the Bible people fast and said, no, we're fasting and you're not listening. Like, we're fasting, like, even. We're even fasting. And you're not responding to us. What's wrong is that? What's wrong with you, they thought. This is in Isaiah chapter 58. I'm going to read a couple of verses. Isaiah chapter 58. I'm going to read a couple of verses starting in verse 3. And here's their complaint. They said, why have we fasted and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? And later on it says, they bowed their heads like a reed. Nice posture. Lay on sackcloth and ashes. All very humble. Great appearance altogether. And they're saying, God, you're not here. What's going on? Why is God not paying attention? And they were doing it so well. And like if you met one of them that day, you'd see like there'd be, oh, we like cappuccinos. No, fasting today. Very nice. Okay, they would have looked the part. Just let some air in here. They would look the part, but something just didn't click for God. It just didn't work for him. Well, let's open a window there. Is it just me? That'd be nice. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Let's read some more of that. Why have we fasted? You don't hear. Why have we humbled ourselves? You have not noticed. Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Ooh. 4 hours, 15 minutes work for 4 hours minimum wage. You're getting the last penny out of people. Yeah, but that's economics. That's not spirituality. Oh, is that so? Well, let me tell you about God. He's interested in economics. He's practical. He likes humans to treat each other right. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. Oh yeah, but that's not God I'm punching, that's someone else. Yeah. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. If you do the wrong thing, it's no use adding fasting to your prayers. Do the right thing. Not just prayer, not just fasting. Do the right thing. Okay. What do they need? Yeah. Instead of saying, how do I look when I'm fasting? Ask yourself about the people in your life. What do they need? We can get absorbed in ourselves, our fastings. God said, what do they need? Those people you're hanging out with. That is a pig. It is actually a flying pig. But it is only a picture. Now, there is a flying pig in the Bible. You should read the Bible. You'll find out a lot of stuff there. Now, the pig of the Bible, apart from being a pig in a vision, it was cheating and that it was using a sheet. It came down on a sheet from heaven. So there's Peter, another great man of God, on the home of Simon the Tanner's house, rather smelly hangout. So there he was on the roof, feeling hungry. I know the feeling. Fell into a trance. I know that feeling too. And along comes a bacon opportunity. A pig and animals of that sort. Not on the Jewish menu, not kosher. The animals came down from heaven in a sheet and a vision. And a voice from heaven said to him, "Get up, Peter, butcher one of these animals and eat it." Peter said, "Oh, no way. No way, God. No, no. Me, I keep the rules." The rules say, you don't eat that kind of meat. It even rhymes. How cool is that? Okay. And the voice said, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." Someone open that door. Or is it just me? Yeah, let's open and get some air going. Thank you. Okay, so God said, eat the meat. Hey, and Peter's there saying, oh, I'm really struggling with this, you know, because the law says, the law of Moses says, don't eat the following meats. Number one, bacon. But Jesus came along and said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out of a man. And in that way, he declared all foods clean. It's not about keeping the rules. It's about doing what Jesus said. Jesus has changed things. Leave him out of your religion, out of your equation, and do the rules. You're missing the point. Thank you, pig. Okay. Next we've got, here's another way people have tried to seem spiritual. One day, Jesus was busy teaching people, grown-up people. Along came the kids. Okay? And said, shh, 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 there's a meeting on. Meeting, there's a meeting. Jesus said, let them come. Really? But like, they're kids. They're noisy. They're not even going to understand what you're saying. They're not even listening anyway. Jesus said, let them come. It's not about keeping certain people out. It's about letting everyone in. Again, in our way of thinking about religion and doing, oh, we've got to keep the person out that's wrong, and we've got to keep this person out, and you know, keep it all right and holy, as we think. God says, no. I'm inclusive. Everybody comes in. This here is Canterbury Cathedral. I was there with John Roach some years ago. We went to visit Mady when she was living in Essex. And we took a little day trip 10 kilometres down the road to Canterbury Cathedral. Nice, isn't it? And of course, Europe in particular is just full of beautiful cathedrals. Some still in the building. It looks mighty fine. One day, you know what's coming. Some of Jesus' disciples went and said, oh, look at the temple, Jesus. Look at the great stones, the great buildings. Is it gorgeous? I mean, God would surely love that, wouldn't he? Like a big building all for God. Built by Herod, who was a political crook, just to win some favour with the Jews. Herod, the king of the Jews, he was called. Jesus said, nah. How are we going to figure God out, people? How are we going to figure out what it is that he does like? Well, I'm going to tell you how to figure anybody out. Are you ready for this? Go to their house and look on the wall and see what they've got pictures of. If it's pictures of boats all over the gaff, talk to them about boats. Most people, it's boats. Most people, what they have pictures of on the wall is people. Family members. We got a new family member 2 weeks ago. We've had to do some frantic printing because we've had to update the walls. Because, hey, you know what? Everybody gets included and put on the walls. Everybody. Okay? Now, does God have pictures on his walls? Oh, yes. Billions of them. At the very start, God said, let's make pictures of us. Family pictures. Woohoo! Let's call them mankind. That's what God said in the beginning within the family. He says, let's print some pictures of us. Mankind, male and female. They'll be like us. They'll rule like us over this earth. And God did it, and God said, that's very good. I like that picture. So God puts these pictures up, and as you go to God's house, and the universe is God's house, you see all over the place pictures of God. Now, some of the pictures aren't great, but that's the same with photos too, isn't it? The photos in your house, they don't fully do justice to people, do they? But nevertheless, They're still pictures. And every human is a picture of God. God loves people. That's why when he made a picture of himself and called it people. He loves all of them. So if we want to get God, if you want to get what makes him tick, you got to treat people right. Worth more than prayers that sound good. Worth more even than fasting. Those things are good too. But just don't miss the boat completely. Treat people right. Let them in, all of them. It's not about exclusion. Thanks, sorry, members club. You've got to have a few years track record with Jesus to come in here. People are allowed in. Ask them, what do they need? Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water to someone, like that's like doing it for me. Oh. So what do they need? What am I doing? And if you do that, you know what? God will say, here I am. You're calling me. I'm here. How would you like? And it's not just saying prayers or being religious. It's doing this. It's treating people right. Let's go read it. Isaiah 58, verse 6, where he talked about the fasting. And God says, I'll show you how to fast. Let's start off with the way they fast. Isaiah 58, verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you haven't seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you haven't noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. See, the religion's good, but the economics is wrong, and it's not working. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Now, listen to what God says in verse 5. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? God says. Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is that all there is to it? Is it only for bowing your head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? What kind of fasting is it like? To loose the chains of injustice. Treat people right. You see someone who's snookered by something unjust, do something about it. Say, I'm not okay with this. Speak up. I'm not okay. Treat those people like that. Okay, they might be powerless and so on. There might be problems. It's not okay. It's not okay to treat people like that. Loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke. People who don't have choices. People should have choice. Untie the cords. Not they're stuck. They can't have choice. Someone else has all the choice, all the power in their lives. Jesus says, God says, untie that. Untie the yoke and press free and break every yoke. That is, don't let it happen again. Don't just like set them free on Tuesday and then on Wednesday when you're gone home, it's back again. Break it. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Hungry? What do they need? Hungry? Food? Clothes? I got some clothes. Shelter? I've got a roof. Is it not to do this? Give people what they need where you can. When you see them. Now, of course, you've got a TV screen, so you probably see kind of millions of people in need around the world, and it's just like too much. You can't cope with it. There was no TV when this was written. It does say, when you see the naked, to clothe them. You know, the people that you can reach, that you do reach. Sometimes it just becomes so overwhelming. You get so much news about trauma in the world, you just think, you know, I can't do anything. The task is so big, it doesn't make a difference. Do what you can with what's near you. Verse 8. Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Woohoo, God's answering all your prayers now. Look at this. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. This is good. This is what you were praying for when you were praying. But now God says, but this is the kind of fasting to add to your prayers. Do the right thing to people. Treat them right. Everybody. Let them all in. Don't be, oh, not you. No, no, no. Be kind to all. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, here am I. Yeah. God will be attentive to you, because finally you're being attentive to him. I wonder if she still offers him that cigarette. I wonder how she learned over the years that it's maybe coffee he likes or something. And she could be saying, now, would you like a coffee, love? He said, I'd love a coffee. And I'd say, if she does that, I'd say there's more of a closeness between them. Wouldn't you? I would find that hard, being offered a cigarette 10 times a day for 10 years. You know, I don't smoke, love. Thanks, but no thanks. But maybe she's earned, maybe she hasn't, I don't know. But let's learn what matters to God, that we treat people right. There are the pictures on his wall, after all. So don't go into my house and throw darts at the pictures on my wall. Won't do that. Okay? None of them. Okay? You might think, well, I love these people, not these people. They're like not quite like us. Uh-oh. Careful. Image of God. Jesus said, the least one of these. That's me. Treat the least one. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger, oh, they're the bad ones. They're not like us. And malicious talk. Did you hear what she did? Did you hear what she said? So we've got a nice little parley going on, but someone else has been pushed further away from friendship. Yikes. If you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs. It's kind of basic, isn't it? You satisfy their needs. God satisfies your needs. You're made in the image of God. But you know what? In your experience, God is made in the image of you. Get that inside your head. Okay? As you begin to flow in what he's really like, you begin to experience that that's what he's really like. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. So even though the environment mightn't be hospitable to you, God will come to you. And he will strengthen your frame or your bones. He'll strengthen you. Well, why wouldn't he strengthen you? If you're doing the things he loves, like he wants more of that. So it makes sense that if you pursue the things he loves, he'll give you strength for the task. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. And it goes on. It goes on. There's more stuff. I'm not going to read it. You can read it. Isaiah chapter 58. The things that God promises to those who will take his concerns on their hearts. Okay? Now we'll have to pray. But it would be dangerous to say a long holy prayer at a time like this, because it's not in the praying. It's in the repositioning of our hearts to say, I will care about people because people matter to God. Lord, thank you that you have opened up to us your heart and maybe surprised us a little just with the shock of what it is that matters to you. Not possessions, not appearances, not religiosity, not things, not excluding others and being better than them, but love for all the people that you have made. And Lord, we just turn our hearts to respond to you in this way. And not be offering you a cigarette when you want something else, but to offer you this concern for your concerns. So Lord, we just set our hearts towards pursuing the things that actually matter to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. What a week you're going to have. I'd like to be someone who's going to meet you this week.